Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
What do you want to do with Matt McMahon as the next head coach of your LSU Tigers? Yes, he is the current coach, but it seems like we're in a spot where everybody wants to know, should they move on? Yes, I do not believe Matt McMahon is a coach that's going to take us to the next level. I understand a deeper investment NIL-wise would definitely help out the case when it comes to this roster. This was not an unfreaking believable roster. This was a team that was proud to play for LSU this season. But if you've paid attention to the Matt McMahon era, and I'll be the first to admit that I have not watched every single second of every single game, it is really, really, really hard to not see a pattern in every game that he pretty much coaches, where you go on these random, volatile runs and you still get blown out. And the other team goes on random, volatile runs and you still get blown out. And last night was unwatchable stuff. I felt a knife through my chest watching LSU basketball tweet out while we are down by 20. With our season on the line, work to do. That's not good. It's no bueno. Now, he did have some good moments. We did beat a team that will be in March Madness. In fact, we beat a few. But that's not good enough. And I don't want to be in a world where we are just settling for mid. So he will be back. That is what has been told to me. that Matt McMahon will indeed stay at LSU. I do not agree with it, but I can definitely see the NIL aspect of it. And it is also important to point out that there have been national reporters saying this aloud, that LSU's NIL investment has been steep. $26 million, according to Pete Nakos of On3, according to Wilson Alexander of The Advocate. And I can say with near 100% certainty that of that $26 million, at least $20 million at the bare minimum has been spent on this LSU football roster. And then you have revenue sharing and all that stuff coming up. I don't think LSU wants to go through another year of hiring and firing a basketball coach, because they would absolutely positively need to go get a big name or a name that has proven something at the P4 level. Who would want to take this job? I don't know. One thing, though, I don't think this helps. I cheer for this guy. I will always have a piece in my heart for this guy. But all the Will Wade tweets, we should have never fired him, those have got to stop. I mean, those are starting to get a little old. Now, why do I say that now? Well, it kind of looks bad. And I don't disagree with the initial decision to fire him. Now, I understand that in retrospect, in hindsight, what he did seems like small potatoes. And yes, there was a national media witch hunt to bring him down. I don't know exactly why he was chosen to be the guy that everybody had to attack, but it is what it is. Will Wade is no longer the LSU basketball coach. I believe he'll be the next head coach at Texas, even though Texas just won the craziest SEC game of the year, arguably, and it looks like they're going to make the tournament, so they might keep Rodney Terry around, but I could see Texas going to hire Will Wade. I can also see him taking the NC State job. There's been some murmurs about that, but I sincerely doubt he will be the coach next year at McNeese State. Now, that lends right into the next topic that I want to get into tonight, to Marcus Cooley. All right, so NC State transfer. Unbelievable season last year. He was indeed very good. And his final game in a bowl game versus East Carolina University was incredible. Two interceptions in that game. They were vastly different interceptions. They were difficult interceptions, and he did those in the rain. Now, was there some bad moments on Tamarcus Cooley's tape? Yeah. You know, he had some rough moments versus Western Carolina University, which is not even a Power Four school. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he's the next coming of Tyrann Mathieu or whoever. What I will tell you is that he is currently playing the safety role in LSU's defense. That is not the position he played last year. Now, did he do some safety things? Sure. But he mostly served as a nickel. I am still open to the idea of Tamarcus Cooley being our full-time nickel. Now, what would that mean for the LSU defense? Well, that would mean you would be taking Harold Perkins off the field, because the nickel and the star, in theory, are the same things. Now, on passing downs, that would change, but out of a base front, it is different. I do think LSU wants a linebacker type in that role, and obviously Harold Perkins would be in that role, but I think they're going to see if Tamarcus Cooley can be the full-time safety. Right now, JV Antoviano is also playing safety. Up to this point in his career, yes, he was a top 100 recruit, but JV Antoviano has not been a great defensive back at LSU. I still have hope for him. I do. I was one of the few last year that was begging for him to play more with our secondary that was actually out there starting and struggling. I would love to see JV Antoviano take that unbelievable massive leap that we would love for him to make. I just don't know if it's going to happen. We'll see. But at this juncture, the biggest story, what will the LSU safety room look like for me? I think that is absolutely positively the biggest problem that needs to get fixed on this LSU defense. It's been a problem. It has been a problem. So I understand there's been some bad luck mixed in there. Obviously, Greg Brooks and what happened to him was definitely something that set our DB room back. And then last year, just not having guys step up and be who we thought they were going to be. And the one thing I don't want to happen is LSU last year was in a spot where they felt Sage Ryan coming back was a good thing, even though there was every single thing out there that showed you that that was not a good thing, but we decided to do it, and that came back to bite us in the rear end, all right? And that's okay. You make bad. Sometimes we all make bad. Okay? So let's get into a few comments here. I am still going through something I probably should have never done. I am on day four of a five-day fast. Y'all, this is ridiculous. I don't know how anyone could fast for more than 2 days. I know some people do three-day fasts. I've done a few 24-hour fasts over the past couple of days. What did I do to myself? I am in a lot of pain right now, but guess what? The show's got to go on. Had a great conversation with one of our partners here, Zion Imaging, a little bit earlier today. Make sure you book them today for your 3-6-day spin booth experience to take your party event and all of that to the next level. That's xyanimaging.com. Now, like we always do, roughly 10 to 15-ish minutes in, I want to give you a take that you won't hear anywhere else. One of my favorite things, and I think this is a major cheat code, and anyone could find this if you go Google LSU sports calendar, okay? And look, me and Tony are twinning, wearing our PHL merch. I got to bring the merch back. They started charging me too much for it to make sense. But, yeah, we gotta bring some merch back here. But if you Google LSU sports calendar, it will change your life because it is a lot easier to keep up with all these spring sports. And the reason why it's relevant is because we are really good in so many of these spring sports. And I would love to know, I probably should tweet Todd Pulitz. He would be able to be the one that could tell me this. Take a look at what LSU sports has to go through tomorrow, Friday, March 14th. Now, the big story, LSU's first SEC opponent, Missouri, they will first pitch at 4:30 Central. It was supposed to be at 6:30 Central. WBRZ reported earlier today. It has been moved up to 4:30 Central. But that's not what's interesting to me. We tomorrow, in all athletics, play two nationally ranked number one teams in their respective sports. And we also play a team nationally ranked number two. So if you're listening to this via podcast, we will run through this really quickly. Beach Volleyball will play Loyola Marymount in California. That is the number two ranked team. I bet you didn't know that. Loyola Marymount. Tomorrow, track and field. They're in the national championships. They'll play the NCAA championships in Virginia. But beach volleyball also plays number one UCLA tomorrow. So they play at 11:30 a.m. Central and then right after that at 3 Central. And then we go down to women's tennis. The number nine ranked. And by the way, beach volleyball is ranked number 11. The number nine ranked women's tennis team will play the number one ranked Georgia at 5 p.m. Central tomorrow. Softball will play number 23 ranked Kentucky as part of a three-game series. And then gymnastics will travel to number 14, Auburn. Auburn, of course, the school where Suni Lee, the gold medalist, played. And then tomorrow, soccer will play UL Raging Cajuns. And they're actually traveling to UL for this game. Interesting. Little one-hour trip to Cajun land. So I wonder how many times in LSU history have they played that many number one nationally ranked teams? Okay. Let's go, Tony. You got a rocket, man. Let's go to Blanche. Sage was a disappointment. I was one of those that thought he would be better as a safety, and he was, but not good enough. I wish him the best. I do not wish him the best. He's at Ole Miss. Okay. It's not that I dislike the guy, but there were times where he loafed. Big thanks to Casey showing us love. And this is just announced. LSU softball tomorrow versus Kentucky has been moved up to 4:30 as well because of weather. Let's go to Christian. Look at this. This is a badass photo. Love to see it. Looks like it's going to be another long season. Secondary going to be asked again. All right. Let's talk about this LSU secondary. I do not think they will be asked. I thought last year they were not going to be good. I was right. I kind of talked myself into them being decent thanks to practice reports and what I was hearing and so on and so on. And I still steadfast. I still feet in the ground said, I just don't see it. And we were not good. We had experienced 4- and 5-star players that stunk. And then we had a lot of 3-stars that we were relying on as young players. They also weren't good. And then we had injuries and whatever else excuse you want to make. We were not good in the secondary. Mansoor Delane will make our secondary better. And why is that? Well, he is going to raise the floor of this LSU secondary. So let's take someone like Zion Alexander. When he was great last year, he was truly great. You think, obviously, the Ole Miss game, the South Carolina game. He had a big INT in that one early. But he also had some rough performances. Alabama, but that wasn't the main reason we lost. Vanderbilt was also really tough. Mansoor Delane, I think it's going to be a little bit more consistent. I also think him being back there will help our unit out immensely because he has experienced some experience, not a lot, at safety. But I also think just him as a corner will make us better. Then you would like to think one of two players will get better. And that's Ashton Stamps and PJ Woodland. As Warriors, those dudes played hard. They were 3-stars playing really difficult positions. And boy, did they have their growing pains last year. But it's hard not to like them. They have won off-the-field awards at LSU football. They have put in a lot of work with personal trainers, with Ashton Stamps being a part of the legendary DPT NOLA facility. And I'm still a believer. I just think his confidence was so shot at the end of the season. He was just making a bad mistake on almost every play. Florida game was terrible. Baylor game was terrible. But I refuse to believe that is the final product because he did have some good moments. He did. Let's be real. But the one guy that has made some news, once again, my transfer portal grade on him, I started cutting his film study. I do need to go back and finish it. Is Jakeem Jackson. So Jakeem Jackson has a similar path to Jordan Gilbert. All right, Gilbert was a three-star recruit, but Jakeem Jackson was a top 100 four-star. Both played two games their final season, got hurt, and entered the portal. Of course, with Jackson, that was last year at Florida, and the year before it was Jordan Gilbert. So Jakeem Jackson actually played a decent amount as a true freshman. Not a lot, by any stretch of the imagination. And he had growing pains, as do most true freshman corners. So in year two, he was fine. Then he gets hurt, and he was out. Now he rejoins Corey Raymond, who recruited him, and man, he has looked good in camp thus far. I mean, really good. I've had two different people, one media member and one player, tell me that he's actually done well. And this is actually a camp where I've gotten a lot of texts about the receivers looking good. But he has made a few plays that makes you wonder, could LSU's cornerback duo be transfers? Now, keep in mind, the last bona fide good cornerback duo we had at LSU were both first-year transfers. That was Mekhi Gardner and Jerick Bernard Converse. So I think that could be your starting corner duo next season. I still think Ashton Stamps will start alongside Mansoor Delane. And then, of course, you have DJ Pickett, who also plays a role in this equation. The game is single digit, and it looks like he's ready to go. The thing is, you can noticeably tell he's thin, all right? SEC football, thick. You guys know I'll always pound the table about that. It matters, all right? You could be a little underweight, but your body frame does matter. Now, that doesn't mean you can't be successful. You can be special like a Devonta Smith, especially at corner. You can get away with it. But look at the best LSU football players of all time. They're not thin. They're thick. Okay? So, you then get to the safety room. Type Y for yes, type N for no. If you are in the camp that Jordan Gilbert is going to be a good safety for LSU next season. He will be on the team next year. Kind of not talked about. I do think LSU wants somebody else because Jordan was very inconsistent last year. But he is experienced in two different secondaries, Texas A&M and ours. He also really loves being at LSU. Could you see a role where that is the case? Now, something else that's happened during spring, and I do think it is of note. At camp recently, the first team center was not Braylon Moore. Let me repeat, the first-team center was not Braylon Moore. It was DJ Chester. I do think Braylon Moore will be your starting center next year. Now, here's the thing, and we will get some practice footage tomorrow. So you'll have a practice Friday and a practice Saturday. Excited about that. We'll have practice video breakdowns. We've already done our first one. Braylon Moore is not a big guy. He's not big. Now, does that mean anything? No, because he's a center. You don't have to be big to be a center. The best center of all time is Jason Kelce. In the minds of many, it's Jason Kelce. He was not a big guy. He was at 300. That's about where Braylon Moore is. Okay. Can he work in the SEC not being the biggest guy? Yes, he can. He is crafty. He's played a lot of football. He's also played some left guard younger in his career. He will be your starting center. And if I were to project what the LSU starting offensive line would look like, Tyree Adams would be one of your tackles. The other tackle, it's kind of tough to say. And then it'll be DJ Chester, Braylon Moore, Josh Thompson up the middle. Now, how good would this offensive line be next year? Well, it'll be fine. It's obviously not going to be as talented as last year's offensive line. The big thing, though, for me, and I will hammer this home until I'm told otherwise or until I'm convinced otherwise with a really convincing argument. I think the big problem with LSU's offensive line is that DJ Chester struggled so much. And I've always believed that offensive line play is not about how good your first or even your second offensive lineman actually is. Offensive line play is, can your worst offensive lineman hold his own? I talk about this offensive line often, but my favorite LSU offensive line of all time was on my favorite LSU team of all time, and that was the 2007 LSU offensive line. I preached about them for so long. They are the most underrated position group in the modern era of LSU football. In fact, we should celebrate them even more. That was a damn good group. But what's interesting is none of them had a long NFL career. Siron Black, Carnell Stewart, Lyle Hitt, Herman Johnson, and Brett Helms. But what made them so good is that all of them were very good. Now, Siron Black had a lot of injuries, and that's what held him back. And me and Saran used to do a radio show together. Real talk. But they were so good at not being disastrous, if that makes sense. They were very good. None of them were like just elite, elite cornerstone pieces. But they were good. All right. And you look at a lot of offensive lines. I mean, the Colts offensive line last year was a mess. They had two very good offensive linemen. One just got signed by the Vikings. The other is Quentin Nelson, who will probably go in the Hall of Fame. The unit stunk. Why? The other three weren't that good. It is a weak link position. Now, you can get around weak links if you have an elite play caller. We didn't have that either. So, the thing is, while our upside might not be what it was last year because Will Camp freaking all-time great at LSU. You can put him on the Mount Rushmore of offensive linemen at LSU. You really can. You could see this unit get better if Joe Sloan with Alex Atkins become better play callers. If that does indeed happen, then our offensive line very well could be better than what it was last year. So we'll see what happens. Let's go to Chance. You can't put transfer people on the first team to start bad with team dynamics, let them earn it. Well, that's partially true. I could see that line of thinking. The problem is that they're doing that with a lot of transfers as well. Monsieur Delane running with the first group as an example. Let's go to Blanche. Can they ever have situations where there are linemen for running for the rushing attack, and they sub on when they need pass blocking? intriguing comment. The answer is no, because it would give away your tendencies way too easy. Way too easy. But could you, in a world, sub your offensive lineman out more often? Well, let's take the 2019 LSU offensive line. They had a really solid starting group, and they would rotate in a guy who's been in the news today, Ed Ingram. So Ed Ingram with the Vikings, he got traded to the Texans. So he was the number six offensive lineman, and they would put him in just in games, right? Because they felt he was good enough and, you know, kept the line fresher, whatever. I like that. Most of the great offensive lines at LSU had really strong number six and number seven guys. T-Bob was that guy in 2011. Ed Ingram, obviously, in 2019. So, yeah, it is nice to have that versatility on LSU offensive lines. If you could have a number six and number seven guy. But it would create some tendency issues, some substitution issues as well. But, you know, I don't see that. I really, really, really don't see that ever being a thing. Now, it's where it gets sexy. Great minds think alike. There is something, Blanche, that we could take away from that. And it does involve the great Jaden Daniels. Okay, that's coming up after this.
Let's go!
On a journey together with Zion Imaging, I want you to see this experience up close. And me as a wedding and event DJ, I watched how everybody had so much fun with Zion Imaging. And a big reason for their success is the team. Yes, Jaron Thomas and his family started this off as a passion project, and they have one simple goal in mind: taking your event to the next level. Whether it's a wedding, reunion, quinceañera, school, or corporate event, Zion Imaging is all about family-friendly fun. And I got to show you on this tour the high-level technology that quickly sends your video session to your phone, whether it's iPhone or Android. Yes, it's the Zion Imaging 360 Spin Booth experience, serving North Texas, North Louisiana, South Arkansas, Orlando, and more. Give us a call, 318-469-4265. Check us out on Facebook or book us at Zion Imaging, xyanimaging.com. Are you a diehard LSU fan? And would you like to understand the complex game of football better? Well, sign up today for our PHL Patreon. This is his second touchdown. Counter GY, you're pulling the guard. We dive deep on recruiting and the transfer portal at a level that you have never seen before. Film breakdowns from so many different angles. And my personal favorites, oh yeah, the analytics, baby. I like to get nerdy. We take a look at cutting edge statistics that help all of us understand LSU football even better. And guess what? Every new signup gets a Joe Burrow card in the mail for free. But we got to save the best for last. Our private Discord community of LSU fans from around the globe. Sign up today. Patreon.com/LSU football and put your name on our wall of patrons. Special thanks to everybody who's on here. Let's freaking go. All right, before we get to this Jaden Daniels idea, the Saints' new staff knows how to win over locals. Tyrann Mathieu, Foster Moreau, Devon Godchow, Will Clapp, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And he didn't include, I guess because he wasn't LSU, Justin Reed in this. Okay? I did see Tyrann Mathieu tweet under this. Look what I started. Love to see it. I think, and I love Shea. I don't know if LSU fans want to hear that, though, after the Bo Davis debacle. I love to see it. Now, We say hi to one of our PHL patrons. Good to see TJ. Trojan Fight, good to see you as well. I am looking at you, whoever you are right now. Should we rotate offensive linemen off the field? No, but should we rotate offensive linemen on the field? Well, we kind of sort of did that last year with Bo Bordelon. And what the Washington Commanders did last year with Jaden Daniels is that they did a lot of unbalanced offensive line. So they would bring an extra lineman on the field, and they would put three offensive linemen to the right of the center. And they would also bring a tight end to that side of the field. So last year with Bo Bordelon, we made him a blocking tight end. And Bo Bordelon is very much in the mix to be a part of this LSU offensive line. I don't think he will be. He had a few good blocks in that Baylor game. I don't think he will be, though. But we'll see. I love personnel switches. I do. I would also love to see LSU this spring run some plays under center. I don't know why we don't do that. Not everything needs to be out of shotgun. In fact, if I was hired as a consultant, and I am a very surface-level film study guy, but if you want to get nerdy, we can get into duo, inside zone, it's tough for me to tell the difference from time to time, counter, all that stuff. I don't know as much ball as the people in that building. What I will say, though, is being under center, I feel, helps out immobile quarterbacks more than we would like to think. I would love to see Garrett under center more often next year. Just saying. We weren't really ever under center. But to Blanche's point, could we see more offensive linemen rotating in and out? Yeah, sure. And TJ thinks we could. You got Bauer Sharp in. You got Tre'Davious Green on this team. I'm still holding out hope for transfer Donovan Green being a factor. We'll see. Let's go to Pierce getting sarcastic. I thought about you a little bit earlier. Because on this 4-day, about to be 5-day fast, I was saying, man, I would freaking crush some Rotolos right now. And Pierce is the only other person on the planet that loves Rotolos more than me. I would love Rotolos to be our presenting sponsor here on PHL. Pierce says, great, now they can all be losers close to home. Love it! But the Saints will not be losers. We will make the 17 playoff next year. We will win the NFC South. Am I really supposed to be scared of Bryce Young and Michael Penix? Do we really believe Baker Mayfield can do it again with a third different offensive coordinator in 3 years? Come on now. Who that nation? You've got to believe. Oh, yeah. TJ says that fast is getting to my head about the New Orleans Saints. I believe they're going to get it done. If you don't, you don't have to believe. I can be biased Saints fan all I want. Derek Carr is not the worst thing. I do think he's tone deaf. I do think he's probably not a great hang. But fun story. I used to collect some of Derek Carr's cards. I sold them all. Because while I was with the Raiders, he was balling out of control. Out of control is a little loose. But he was good. He was good. What's the deal with the Saints? Well, he got hurt last year. I am also of the belief that I wouldn't have minded Clint Kubiak staying around, but obviously you got to go when Kellen Moore's coming in. Different styles. They also ran Geno Smith out of town, though, in Seattle. Pierce says, yeah, and I'm getting married to Adele this fall. The black SUVs will be outside your door, if that was the case. Rich Paul don't play no games about his woman. Are they still together? Are they still together? I don't know. But for Derek Carr to say, I am taking the full $40 million. The full $40 million. I promise. There is never enough money for anyone. Anybody that's generationally rich like Derek Carr. He said, look, I want the full $40 million. So what am I supposed to put in here? StreamYard just sent me this new scene. I don't know what that is. Now, here's what you're going to do. The next 5 to 10 minutes, I'm going to answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep it moving. Okay. I do want to share this. And once again, I'm not listening to this. I normally check Twitter for any breaking news or whatever. This could just be a joke, but I do want to share this from Todd McShay.
Derek Carr may not be cemented in New Orleans. I'm not going to get into all the minutiae of it, but after June 1st, he may become a very interesting option for a team that is trying to contend, trying to win games. And doesn't get the quarterback that they want in free agency and doesn't get the quarterback that they want in the draft. So as a kind of a stopgap two-year plan, right? Mm-hmm. So those are four names that are still kind of front and center. Huge names. Huge names. Derek Carr.
It's Todd McShay. Not me. Now, which teams could he be talking about? Well, there's a few that come to my mind. Giants, obviously, they need to win now with a coach potentially on the hot seat. You can also make a case that it's the Steelers with all the moves that they've made. That would make a lot of sense. I could also see the Browns. They have weapons. Judy and Njoku. Nick Chubb on one leg, basically. They just forked over $40 million to Myles Garrett. I could see any of those three teams. And they're the ones hosting Russell Wilson. Now, how would that work? I don't think the Browns would be able to afford it. But what if the Saints decide at 9 to draft Shedeur Sanders or Jackson Dart or whoever? Just some food for thought. BT wants Coach McMahon to stay around. Let's take a look at the poll question here. 76% of you say no. All right. That's fair. Fast is going terrible. Thanks for asking, Christopher. That'll do it for me tonight. That's why we're ending a little bit short. it has been very eye-opening, this experience. I've enjoyed it in many ways, but I'm ready for it to be over. And it ends tomorrow. Now, don't forget, if you join the PHL Patreon, you are automatically entered to win a Ja'Marr Chase autograph uniform, which we are giving away at the end of April. On top of that, we give every new Patreon signup a Joe Burrow card in the mail. Now, on Patreon, tomorrow morning, I'm going to go cut this right now. There was something that was said about Michael Van Buren that was very eye-opening. And it's not a great thing, but it's a very fixable thing. That'll be on Patreon tomorrow morning. All right? Trust me, you're not going to hear another LSU media member talk about this. I couldn't believe this. But I heard it, and I was like, all right, this is going to be my next Patreon deep dive. It'll be tomorrow. You don't want to miss it. Sign up now, patreon.com/LSU football. And on top of that, you get access to our Discord benefits. Okay? It is PHL. Boom! And tonight, we are doing nothing. Let's call.